Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, basically picking up where we were last week. Let's look at verse 3. "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to bless this program today, to bless the message that I believe that you've given me to preach. Lord, as the man said, we would see Jesus. Lord, open the Word of God to the people. Lord, give them understanding. I'm not here on this program to talk about me. I'm not here to talk about my church or my denomination. I'm not here to talk about my pocketbook. The reason why I'm on this program, on this radio station, and the reason why I've gone to various countries, Haiti and whatever, the reason why I preach is that people would see Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one, Lord, that if people look unto Him, they can live. And Lord, help me to decrease so that Christ may be able to increase in my life, in my witness, in this program, this radio show. Lord, we would see Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. And we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 7, he says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now we're reading the book of Exodus, and the book of Exodus tells the story of when Israel exited or left Egypt. It tells the story of deliverance. And in the last couple of programs, we've studied about how all the background for this was laid, that the people ended up in Egypt. These are the people of God. They're the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they end up, because of a famine, they end up in the land of Egypt. And obviously God was with them at that time. God protected them at that time through Joseph. But time passed, and they end up being slaves in the land of Egypt. And God hears their cry and wants to deliver them. And God chooses Moses to be the deliverer. And throughout history, and throughout the Word of God and forever, he'll be known as the deliverer. Even in the book of Revelation, it says that when we get to heaven, we're going to sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. throughout the Old Testament, the Jews sang the Song of Moses. They told about his great deliverance that he had performed in the land of Egypt. And obviously God is the one that helped him. There's no question of that. But they sing the Song of Moses. But we have another song to sing. And that's the song of how Jesus Christ came to this earth and delivered mankind from their sin. And it says, like I say, in the verse in Revelation says that they sang of the Song of Moses and of the Lamb. And obviously Christ's deliverance is much greater than what Moses did. Moses' deliverance was a physical deliverance mainly. But it signified and foreshadowed the things that Christ would do on the cross. And, you know, many times people will look at the Old Testament or hear this broadcast, for instance, or other people talking about the Old Testament, and they'll think it's boring. They'll think, you know, that's a bunch of Sunday school stories. I don't really need to know that. But if you want to know about Christ, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it many more times again, if you want to know about Christ, if you want to know about the Lord Jesus, if you want to know about the cross, or you want to know about his miracles or healing, or his second coming, if you want to know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, we can read the Gospels. And the Gospels give a great picture, a great amount of information about what Christ did, who he is, and etc. But there's background. There's a lot of background. There's a lot of things that the Lord did in the Old Testament to prepare for Christ's coming. And everything Christ did, practically everything he said, practically everything he did was foretold or prophesied in the Old Testament. Many times it's a verbal prophecy, you know, thus saith the Lord, my servant will do this or that. But more importantly, I believe, is that we can look in the lives of the people in the Old Testament and we can see the things that Christ did, but the characters, the faith heroes or whatever in the Old Testament did these things before. And in that regard, they foreshadowed Christ. And that's a form of prophecy. We call it a type. When something in the Old Testament foreshadows something in the New. But let's go ahead and get into the text today. In verse 8, well, let's say in verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, notice that there's mercy and compassion there. And the fact that God sees what's going on down here, and he takes notice, and when we're suffering, I don't mean, oh, I stubbed my toe or I broke a nail. I'm not worried about little things like that. But the big things in life, the big heartaches in life, you know, maybe your wife was killed in a car wreck, or maybe your son's on drugs and he ended up in prison. The big things in life, I believe that God takes notice. And if we'll look to him, then he will do something to comfort us. He can do the big things. He can take care of the big problems in life. He can deliver that boy that's on drugs. He can comfort you because of the wife that you've lost. He can care for those children that you have. God is a big God, and we need to put our trust in a big God, and we need to take our troubles and our burdens to him. So many verses in the Old and New Testament talk about doing exactly that. That we should take our burdens to him. Let me quickly turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I could quote other verses that show that God cares for us. He's looking out for us. You know, there's a popular song that God is watching us from a distance. I believe that that song is error. I believe that song misses the wonderful message that's in the Word of God, that God looks at us, God loves us, God comes down to help us. And in fact, Jesus Christ, His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He came down. And if we'll put our trust in Him, and if we'll call out to Him when we experience the troubles of life, He will answer us. He will deliver us. He will help us. I believe one of the problems in the church today is we've forgotten that God can help us. We've forgotten that God hears us. We've forgotten, you know, we're too busy with the things on television, the things in politics, the things in the news, what have you. We're too busy. And we have technological advances in science and technology and whatever. We have a number of different things. We have a doctor. If you get sick, you can run to him. He'll give you a pill and you'll be well. Too often we're distracted by these things, and I'm not against doctors by any means, but too often we forget that God can heal the sick. Too often we forget that God can comfort the afflicted, and I believe that we're worse off for it. But it says here, it mentions in verse 8, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. That's a common theme. Look in Psalm chapter 18. In the middle of this passage in verse 9, Psalm 18 verse 9, He bowed the heavens and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And that's to me, that's a wonderful verse, that God comes down from heaven, and that darkness is under His feet. That's very symbolic. We know that God is light. We know that Satan and sin is darkness. But He puts darkness under His feet. There's another verse that says that Satan will be under our feet. And we sung songs about that. That as we live with God, Satan will be defeated in our lives and in the lives of those that we can minister to. He bowed the heavens and came down, and darkness was under His feet. That the Word of God many times, over and over and over again, tells of the victory that God has over Satan. It tells the victory that God has over sin. Many, 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 many times. You'll be reading a passage and then one verse will just stand out and leap off the page and talk about one of the victories that God has, or one aspect of the fact that we've been delivered from our sin. And many times people think that the Word of God is boring, but again, I believe it's very rich and very necessary. But He says here in this passage that in verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11 says, and Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And He said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Now that's interesting. God says, I want you to deliver the children of Israel. And He says, I will be with thee. He told Joshua very much the same thing, that I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. You can read in the New Testament, how many times does it say that God will be with us? How many times does it say that the Holy Spirit would come and would be with us? We have a great commission. Our job as Christians, as the Church of God, as ministers, as people in the pew, we have a job to win souls. Maybe it's to go across the street to win our neighbor. Maybe it's to go halfway across the world to Africa to win tribesmen. But it's our job to win souls, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But it's a great co-mission. We have a duty to go. But the other half of that is that God will be with us. God will be with us. You know, I'm a Pentecostal. You've heard me say this many times before, and I've taught somewhat before on this station about the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure that I'll do so again. But the Holy Spirit was given, according to verses in Acts, according to some places in the book of John. You can read many passages. It says the Holy Spirit was given so that we would be able to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. God will be with us. God will be with us. God is on our side to do the works that He sends us to do. And God will be with us. And we can read in this passage in Exodus that God was with Moses. But let's look at this. In verse 13, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I am come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me to you, and they say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" That's kind of strange. You can take this, I guess, two ways. That perhaps God had not completely revealed himself to the Jews beforehand. And that's certainly true. There's a progressive revelation. He starts out in Genesis and goes through the book of Revelation. And as we progress through the Word of God, we learn more about the Lord. So that is certainly an option, that they didn't necessarily know exactly what name to call their Lord. But another way to look at this is the fact that every people group, every tribe, every country, they all had their own set of gods. Now, many times, if you look at the Greek and the Roman gods, for instance, you can take one god from the Greek and you can look in the Roman pantheon and say, oh, well, this other god here, he matches up. And many times that is correct. The gods from one country or one people group or one religion are similar to the other. You can look in South America, and many of the Aztecs and Mayans and what have you, many of their gods are very similar to some of the things that were in Africa, for instance. But the picture here, or the point here, is that every different people group has their own god. And here comes this man who claims to be a Jew, who claims to be Moses, who claims to be the one that they knew about 40 years ago that had killed the Egyptian and fled. He comes to them and says, hey, God's going to deliver you. And they say, well, okay, which one? And that's a valid question. If somebody comes to you, knocks on your door and says, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. I got this book here. You need to say, well, what book is it? Is it the Word of God? Is it the Bible? Is it the Book of Mormon? Is it some New World Translation or something? Or is it some other kind of religion? You need to know who. You need to know if they're coming to you and telling you, hey, my God can deliver you. You need to know who it is. But in verse 14, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you." Now, there's a number of things here. He says, I am that I am. And he says, tell him, I am, hath sent you. Not I was, not I might be, or I want to be, or I will be, or I'm a has-been, or whatever. But he's, I am. And I believe that says to us that if you have trouble, God is able to help you. We read about the great miracles in the Old Testament, and there were some very great miracles. When Moses opened the Red Sea, that's a very great miracle, but it was a long time ago. And you say, well, can God do it today? Well, I don't know if he's going to part the Red Sea again, but if you have trouble in your life, tell them, I am, hath sent thee. He can help you today. He can deliver you today. And we many times forget that. But in verse 15, he says, "And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." So he says, I am, but then he further identifies himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that is the God that they had served before, obviously. But then he says in verse 16, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and have seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Now, he mentions these different tribes again. This is the second mention, and he mentions them many times again in the Old Testament. But it first mentions the land of Canaan. And we think of the land of Canaan as the promised land. And again, this is a promise, that is correct. Where the nation of Israel is today is the land of Canaan. And there were other different tribes that were there. He mentioned six tribes here, or six groups or what have you. And there were other enemies that were there that had to be defeated. And we'll read some of these in the book of Exodus and later on in subsequent books. David was still fighting some of these people. "And they shall hearken unto thy voice," in verse 17, "and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders which I shall do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go." Now it goes on a little bit more to the end of the chapter. The idea here is that God is calling Moses to go and deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he says, go to the elders, and they're going to listen to you. And then I'm going to deliver them. Tell them that I'm going to set them free from their slavery, bring them out of bondage. I'm going to bring them to the land of Canaan. And I'm going to give them this wonderful land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses, they're going to listen to you. Now I want you to go after you met with them, and I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell them these things and say, let my people go. And then in verse 19, he says, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt, he says. And after that, he'll let you go. And we read the next few chapters of that story. He goes and he meets with Pharaoh several times. And eventually, Pharaoh lets the people go. He goes to Pharaoh and says, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, I won't. And then God shows his power for all the Egyptians to see and for all of us to see. God shows his power of how he can deliver and how he is greater than Pharaoh and how he is greater than Satan. You know, you can put your trust in God. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Whatever trouble you happen to find yourself in, God can deliver you. You can read it here in the Old Testament. You can read it in the New Testament. You can go visit a church and ask, and I'm sure that people will tell you they had some sort of trouble in their life, some calamity, but they sought God, they prayed, they gathered the church together or whatever and prayed, and God gave an answer. God gave deliverance. God is the God of deliverance. One of the charges that Jesus had, you can read this in Luke chapter 4, is that he came to deliver and to heal and to liberate. The Bible says these things, and I'm here to tell you that God can help you. God can deliver you because God sees you. God sees the things that you're going through, and all you have to do is look to him and trust him and ask him, and the Lord will take care of you.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.